You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. It can be a difficult time for American Muslims in the wake of Islamist extremist terrorist attacks in Paris and San Bernardino. There's been heated rhetoric in the national political landscape. There have been reports of harassment at the local level with concerns about a potential rise in Islamophobia.
The leading Republican presidential candidate, Donald Trump, has called for a nationwide ban on Muslims entering the country. The mayor of Superior called President Obama a Muslim who has, quote, destroyed the fabric of democracy. And Muslims in Wisconsin have reported verbal attacks in their daily lives.
Here with us now to talk about how this is affecting the Muslim community here in the state is Othman Atta. He's executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. Othman, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you very much, Rob.
Can you paint us a picture? What kind of things are Muslims in your community seeing as they go about their daily lives these days?
You know, with the increase in anti-Muslim rhetoric by some of the presidential candidates, I mean, we actually see that influencing some members of the community. So sometimes when people are going about their business in stores, driving, whatever else, they will have profane remarks sometimes directed at them. People will tell them, you know, why are you here? Go home. In school, some of the children also experience remarks that are made to them to associate them with extremists and so forth.
How does this compare to the past 10, 15 years?
You know, whenever there has been some kind of a major incident, we tend to become a little bit concerned because there is so little understanding about what Muslims believe and who Muslims are and what motivates them that we become fearful because people tend to associate, because of, you know, some of the remarks that are made and have been made in the past, people tend to associate mainstream Muslims with extremist groups. And that's, you know, really unfortunate. So what we do is we try to be a bit more vigilant during times when there is some major incident that takes place.
And do you try to tell your story, too, to explain who you are as compared to what people see in the news after these terrorist attacks?
You know, we do that all the time. I mean, I will tell you, we believe that most of the anti-Muslim rhetoric and even some actions are motivated more by ignorance. People are anxious. People are fearful. And really, it takes us to go to speak to them, to let them know who we are, that we're part of the fabric of the society. We're, you know, you're the physicians at your hospitals. We're the nurses. We're the engineers. We're the taxi drivers, business owners. I mean, we're trying to explain to them that we are just like everyone else, and that the Muslims are actually victims of this terrorism more than probably any other group as well. And to associate our religion with these extremist groups is really unfair. And so education is the way that we try to combat it. The problem is that some of the people that we really would like to reach are those that are least likely to listen.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel profiled some incidents lately, and you mentioned kids maybe on the school bus, things like that, getting harassed, hearing these comments directed at them or their parents. Are you seeing kids in particular being affected?
That's our fear. I mean, because remember, groups like ISIS are trying to actually play on, some of the youth and their, some of their concerns, their own kind of fears and so forth. And what we're concerned about is a lot of this anti-Muslim rhetoric and almost what you can call hysteria sometime will actually lead to a radicalization of the youth. I mean, as the youth experience either hate speech or marginalization or discrimination, I mean, they're going to have their own fears and resentment. And this is exactly what the terrorists want. I mean, they want people who are fearful, feel disenfranchised, because those are the kind of people that they will try to reach. And we're trying to prevent that.
We're talking to Othman Atta. He's executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, talking about anti-Muslim sentiment in the United States, how it affects communities here in Wisconsin. Othman, I don't want to focus just on the negative. In that same Journal Sentinel report, there were reports of people reaching out, interfaith efforts, people showing up at the Islamic Center with a soccer ball for the kids. Have you seen those kind of positive reactions, too, in tough times?
You know, I'll tell you, I believe my own personal experience is the positive is actually overwhelming, much more than the negative. Obviously, the negative receives more press, especially if it has some violent aspect to it. You know, obviously, that's where there is more concern. But we have, you know, a lot of people who have come to the center, sent us letters, sent us flowers, sent us gifts. We have even individuals who, for example, go to a restaurant. People approach them and speak to them, you know, very nicely. I mean, I was talking to a couple of the high school girls in our school here. They happened to actually go to a local restaurant, and I think they were being a little bit loud and boisterous and whatever else, laughing and joking. You know, some elder guy comes up to him, and he says, can I tell you something? And I said, what? He said, you know what? I'm really happy to see you guys, and you really look like just a bunch of normal girls to me. And, you know, even something like that is something that's very positive.
It's kind of mixed, maybe, but I guess better than a negative response. Well, Othman, I want to ask about another possible response. Are you seeing curiosity? People wanting maybe not a positive reaction, a negative reaction, just wanting to learn more. What is you know, people who may not know much about Islam, about the people who practice the religion, just wanting to know more?
You know, we've received many, many requests for people who really would like to know. Some individuals will actually come to the Islamic Center and say, look, I'd like to know more. We've had, for example, many churches, business groups, and others that have contacted us and said, look, you know, can you send someone? We'd like to really listen to what you guys have to say. We want to understand things. And when we go there, we tell them, look, hey, there's no questions that are off limit. Ask anything that you want. Part of the problem is most people have very little understanding about Islam because it's never been part of the curriculum of any schools. Second, because of the very small number of Muslims in this country, I mean, somewhere probably between 1-2%, most people have never interacted with a Muslim, or if they did, they don't know it. And then the in terms of the general news, obviously it tends to focus on, you know, ISIS and these criminal groups and terrorist groups and so forth. And so people have very little that they hear about just mainstream Muslims and what they believe. And so we're trying to provide them with that opportunity to talk to us, to interact with us. And even some of our interfaith partners are facilitating, you know, meetings and talks and things of that sort.
Now, turning back to the national stage, after the attacks in Paris and then California, Donald Trump said, and he stood by this, he would want to see at least a temporary ban on Muslims entering the country, denounced by members of the Republican Party, rival candidates. Do you think that that's something that's just kind of out there? Or do you think it influences the way people think and react to Muslims?
Well, I think that it does have an influence. I think that, again, it appeals to a certain segment of the society, those who tend to be more xenophobic, those who tend to be more anti-immigration, anti-minority. They tend to be really the same kind of individuals. And what we're concerned about is this rhetoric, which, I mean, honestly, the way that Donald Trump is speaking and the things that he's saying, it's actually more demagoguery than anything else. Rather than acting like a leader and telling people, hey, look, you know, we're going to deal with this, we're going to take care of it, we're going to isolate, you know, these extremists. He's playing on people's fears, he's playing on people's anxieties. And we're fearful that he will empower extremists. And in fact, that's what's been taking place, where even, you know, authorities have, you know, there's been a number of cases where people have attacked mosques. There's one individual who I was reading a story about him. He actually wanted to go and blow up a mosque. I mean, these are things that are going on. So we're afraid that this anti-Muslim rhetoric is going to empower the crazies who really, you know, just want to go out and hurt anyone, whether they happen to be Muslim or look like a Muslim or happen to be some other group that they dislike.
In the aftermath of a terror attack involving Muslims in the Western world, you know, the Paris attacks, California, a common response here in the West is, well, why don't we hear mainstream Muslims denouncing terrorists, denouncing terrorism as a tactic? What do you say when you hear something like that?
You know, it really troubles me when I hear that, because, you know, if anyone has access to Google or to the Internet or to cable or to any news or to, you know, Wisconsin Public Radio, I mean, they would know that Muslims have been nonstop condemning these kind of groups, whether ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, all of them, because these groups are not only killing non-Muslims. In fact, they're killing Muslims more than they're killing any other. But those people who keep, you know, saying, oh, you Muslims need to keep condemning it, what they're trying to do is they're trying to associate mainstream Muslims and Islam with these extremist groups. It's really dishonest of them. They know that Muslims have condemned these groups. They know that these groups really don't represent the mainstream Islamic beliefs that the overwhelming majority of Muslims follow, yet they continue to repeat that same tired mantra, because their intent, in my view, is to marginalize Muslims, to attack immigrants and other groups. I mean, this is just part of their fear-mongering.
We're talking to Othman Atta. He's executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee. We're talking about how Muslims in Wisconsin are dealing with concerns over anti-Muslim rhetoric on a national and local level.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're Muslim, have you had any negative encounters in recent months? Has your community supported you in any way? And in general, how do you see your community responding to the rise in anti-Muslim sentiment? Call 800-642-1234. We're continuing our conversation now with Othman Atta, Executive Director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, talking about how Muslims in Wisconsin are dealing with the rise in anti-Muslim rhetoric.
You can join the conversation with your thoughts and your questions at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed a change in your community, more, less anti-Muslim sentiment? Do you see people reaching out between religious communities in your part of the state? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now. We have Elaine on the line in Colfax. Elaine, hi.
Hi. The mayor of Superior, he was invited to a Muslim event with food and cultural entertainment, and he accepted. And from what I understand, he was very touched, and he learned a lot. I think it was smart of the community to, instead of becoming an adversarial with this the ignorant remarks that the mayor had on his Facebook page, they reached out to him. And I think that is necessary and very important. And I hope that he has changed what he said on his Facebook page. But I would be curious if your guest has heard anything about this.
Elaine, thanks for the call. And just as a quick reminder, we mentioned it briefly earlier, there was a controversy after the mayor of Superior, Wisconsin, had posted comments mainly directed at President Obama, but calling him a Muslim who had destroyed the fabric of democracy in the United States. And then some controversy after that, and then this this get-together that Elaine mentioned. Othman, your thoughts on that?
You know, this, especially the birther movement people, really bothered me a lot. I mean, that's not about anti-Islam. That's about not knowing the fundamentals of the U.S. Constitution. I mean, so I have obviously an issue with that, but I do agree with the caller that to try to actually reach out to people to educate them, to see if, hey, you know, come and meet Muslims. In fact, I heard that there's a Muslim group in Iowa, actually one of the first mosques in North America was built in, I believe it was Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and from what I heard, that they've actually tried to invite Donald Trump to go there. I don't know if he's accepted or not. I do strongly believe that education, interaction, you know, talking to people, working with people, oftentimes allows them to get rid of these negative and false stereotypes that they've developed. And I think that works with most people. And that's why a good part of our energy as an organization is to actually go and reach out and speak and interact with, you know, other groups as much as we can, because we are hopeful that education will, you know, allow people to really understand the Muslim community much better.
Elaine, thanks for that call. We had a caller who couldn't stay on the line who wanted to bring up concerns about Sharia law, the Islamic legal system based on, I think, the Quran and the Hadith and interpretations thereof, and implying that Americans are worried about that. And we've seen in state legislatures around the state people trying to pass laws saying we can't apply Sharia law here in the United States. This is something that comes up again and again. Do you want to talk about that a little, Othman?
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, again, it's a really a non-issue that is being promoted as an issue by particular anti-Islamic groups. I mean, think about it just logically. Muslims represent less than 2% of the population. What is the possibility that 2% of the population are going to be able to pass laws throughout the United States to enforce Islamic laws on 98% of the non-Muslim population? I mean, Sharia law is not being practiced in most Muslim countries, much less practiced in a largely non-Muslim countries. Again, I think that the people who raise this issue are those who are trying to malign Islam. They're trying to attack Islam kind of from, in a way that kind of backsided attack. It's a non-issue because it's just not even a possibility.
Talking to Othman Atta, he's executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee, talking about Wisconsin's Muslim community, how it's faring in the aftermath of terrorist attacks in Paris and California. Some backlash here, some positive response, too, he's been saying. Another issue that has people talking, has some people worried, has come up with a presidential race, is the idea of taking in refugees from majority Muslim countries. Syria in particular is one that comes up, others as well. Do you see that generating conflict worry here in Wisconsin?
You know, I think that those who have been pushing for Muslims not coming in, refugees not coming in, are those who have traditionally been anti any kind of immigration. And so you have to kind of look at it from that light. I mean, we're a country that has always accepted refugees. These are refugees that are fleeing from brutality. They're being killed not only by, for example, the Syrians, not only by the regime of Bashar al-Assad, but also by ISIS. I mean, these are people who are risking their lives to cross oceans so that they could have a better life. And we've seen, you know, like the little child that washed up on a shore in Turkey, the people that are drowning. I mean, are these people who are going to risk their children and their lives because they want to hurt others, or are they trying to seek refuge for themselves? I think that we should try to help any refugees, whether they happen to be Muslim or non-Muslim. That is what our nation was founded upon. That's what we're all about. That is what is going to help us and our country in the future as well. Those who want to limit immigration, they have their own political agenda.
One argument that's made specifically, I think, to Muslim refugees or immigrants, people who are opposed to having more Muslims in the United States, say there's something fundamental in Islam that it's not compatible with democracy and a system of tolerance. A huge question, but Islam and American democratic society, can they get together?
You know, absolutely. I mean, these countries or these regimes that they're looking at or these militant groups that they're looking at do not represent Islam in any way, shape, or form. Muslims have actually been part of the fabric of this country for many, many years. And according to, like, the Pew Center on Religion, they are considered to be mainstream part of this society in terms of their per capita income, in terms of their educational level, in terms of their integration in the society. If you look at historically Muslim societies going back during the Golden Age of Islam, they were very pluralistic. You had Christians and Jews and that are living together and scholars working together. That is what Muslims are looking at. That is part of what their faith actually calls for. It calls for respect for other traditions. It calls for human rights. It calls for all of these things. Now, is this practiced in some of these countries or these extremist groups? Are they practicing this? Of course not, but they don't represent what Islam is. What Islam is, and Islam is represented by American Muslims and by the overwhelming majority of Muslims who don't participate in any of these extremist activities, who are not part of these extremist groups.
Time for one more quick call from Muhammad in Appleton. Muhammad, hi.
Yeah, hi. Yes, I am the imam in the Islamic Center of Wisconsin in Appleton, and just agreeing with Brother Othman Atta about the Sharia law terminology, that some anti-Muslim group, they start to scare the community or the general public with some terminology, and they come up with some new one every time. They come up with the term jihad first, and when they found out the public start to become familiar with the term, they use another term, the Qaeda. When the public become more accustomed with this term, they come with another term, Sharia law.
Mohammed, thanks for that call. Very briefly, he says, Imam, he says, in Appleton, and he says, when we're stopped worrying about Sharia law, we'll come up with another phrase to as a scare tactic, he says, Othman.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that is the case. And as I indicated before, there's absolutely no chance that Sharia law will be imposed on anyone. Now, is Sharia law part of, for example, the marriage rituals for Muslims, the dietary requirements for Muslims, how Muslims will pray? Yes, that is. But that pertains to Muslims in their own private lives. It has nothing to do with the public. It is not something that is going to be imposed. And even according to Islamic Sharia law, Islamic law cannot be imposed on anyone who is not a Muslim anyways. It has to be accepted by the individuals. So it's really a non-issue.
Othman, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rob.
That's Othman Atta. He's executive director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee.